Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I considered as I was studying that I've only got three more chances to preach to Joe, so I'm going to try to narrow in on him. When you think about a minister or a ministry, and you think about a Christian, I mean, it's you understand that the pastor's role is the overseer. He's supposed to keep an eye on everybody and help everybody and teach everybody. That's his role. But we're all supposed to be ministers. We're all supposed to be visiting and out and evangelizing and trying to reach people and loving people and studying. You know, yeah, he's got to preach, but we're all supposed to study. And we're supposed to stay in the Word. And the psalmist here is talking, and he gets to talking about the law and the Word. But he begins by saying, blessed is the man that walketh not, a not, in the counsel of the ungodly. Who are we listening to? Who's giving us our advice? Are we plugged into the people on the radio? And if so, what are their credentials? What do they know? What is their experience? What's their walk with God? How do they, you know, as they give general counsel, how do we know that that's particularly going to work for us? You know, as people call and they talk to me, and you know, it's sad to me that a lot of times the people that call me are not the people that have the problem. They're the people that are suffering because somebody else has a problem. And so they are victims of their circumstances, and whether that's a spouse or a parent or a child, whatever the case may be, a lot of times the person that needs help doesn't reach out for help. And so it's their casualties that reach out for help. Unfortunately, that's the case. But who are we listening to? Who is it that we're leaning on? The ones that call me, I say, well, that other person needs to call me. No, they won't want counseling. Now listen, if somebody recommends counseling to you, get counseling. And it doesn't have to be your pastor. It could be some other minister. It could be somebody else in the church. You know, as I talk to people today about crisis, I was telling them, you know, get you a fishing buddy. Go fishing with them and open your heart and talk. I don't know about you, but I've never been with anybody that fishes quietly. Have you? I've never been with anybody that was quiet when they were fishing. Now, I remember going with my dad, and he'd tell me I was supposed to be quiet while I fished. But that was when I was little. But we get out there, and we talk. We open our heart, and we share our burdens and our needs, and we're just talking. We're not in counseling. We're not in therapy. But you know, that is therapeutic. And we need to be able to talk, and we need to be able to share, and we need to be able to think through and process our issues. But again, be careful who you're listening to, what kind of advice they're giving you. We've got to be careful when, you know, it's the other people at the office saying, well, you ought to leave him, and you should have left him long ago, or now it's encouraged for you to just have an affair. You know, just doesn't matter. Everybody's doing it. And just run off and just live a little, and nobody's got to know. And we got to be careful who we're listening to. By the way, those are professionals that give that kind of advice. Those are trained professionals that give that kind of advice. We got to be careful who we're listening to. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, we have to be careful who we're listening to, because some people are disgruntled. You get around a pastor that's disgruntled, he'll give you bad advice. He'll give you bad advice as another pastor. He'll give you bad direction. You know, I remember hearing a preacher preach one time, and he was talking about sitting in church one day. He said, I was sitting in church, they were passing the plate, and he said, I was sitting on the platform looking at the people in the church, and the thought crossed my mind, boy, I wish I had a machine gun right now. You imagine a pastor saying that about his church? I think it's time to leave. I think it's time to give up. But people, we got to be careful, because if you took advice from that preacher, no telling what he'd tell you to do. And so we got to be careful how we choose our counselors, whose advice we accept, whose advice we follow. Are they negative? Are they worldly? Are they unbiblical? Are they anti-Christian in their counsel? In Proverbs 15 and verse 22, it says this: without counsel, purposes are disappointed. It's important to get counsel. It's important to bounce our thoughts off people and to throw it in this. I want to just pass this. I just want to pass it by you and see what you think. That's okay. But in the multitude of counselors, those purposes are established. In the multitude. So don't just go with one guy. Remember what happened to Solomon's son? And he he went out there and he said, what are we going to do? And he talked to the older men. The older men said, Rehoboam, what you need to do, you know, you just need to lay off. You need to give him a break. You need to have tax reform. You need to lighten the load. Your dad really just taxed him, and he's built these beautiful places, and he's rich, and you're rich, but you don't need any more money. Let the people have relief. And then he says, okay, let me think about it. And he called his buddies in that he graduated high school with and went to college with. And he said, well, what do y'all think I ought to do? He said, man, you aren't rich enough. Tax them some more. Take some more. Put them to work. You're the king. They're the servants. Let them serve you. And they thought your dad was bad. If they hated him, make them despise you more. And you know what he went with? He went with his contemporaries. He did what the young guys said. And it revolted. There was a revolt against him and a rebellion against him. And had he listened to the people who had lived and had experience and were seasoned, he would have done the right thing, would have done better by Israel. And then as you look at Proverbs 11 and verse number 14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Have you ever asked somebody for their advice, and when they told you their advice, you didn't like what they had to say? Mm-hmm. And we need to pray. We need to pray. You know, the Holy Spirit being in us as anointed children of God, we have that indwelling of God so that God, you know, people say, well, go with your gut. Well, better than that, when you're born again, you got God in you. Mm-hmm. Go with God.
Amen.
Let Him lead you. Let Him convince you. And then once He convinces you, believe Him. Trust Him. But the problem is, a lot of times God tells us, don't say anything, do say something, and we don't do what He says. And so, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man. You want to be blessed? How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want to be happy? How many of you don't want to be happy? Like those ones dressed in white and wearing blue ribbons last night. I don't want to be happy about anything. So some people don't want to be happy, but look here, in Psalm 1 he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to let them direct his path. He's not going to let them tell him where to go. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, if you read that one way, you say, well, man, we ought to stand in the way. We should be obstacles. We should keep them from sinning. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being in sinful environments, becoming very familiar with sinful places and doing sinful things, standing in the way, in the place of sinners. We should not be in places that are known as being sinful. We should avoid places that are known as sin pits, right? And we shouldn't hang around with people who are sinful. But we would stand around with sinners. Now look, we read the other night where Jesus was praying. He said, Father, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them, you would keep them while they're in the world. So we're going to be among sinners. How many of you have sinners in your family? How many of your family has sinners in you? All right, so we're all sinners. So we're not trying to put on an air and say we're not sinful. We're not sinners, but we are trying to say we're trying to reform, right? We're born again. Our sins are washed away, and we're trying to behave. We're trying to live right and live disciplined. But he says, don't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, I tell you what, we live in a wicked world today, don't we? Where they mock Christ, where abortion, killing babies before they're born, is promoted. And if you are against that, somehow you're against women. I bet half of the babies they kill are women. But somehow that escapes them, like they don't understand. I don't know if they really don't understand. Are they really that dumb that they can't comprehend that? And I'm sorry to say it so plainly, but hey, how can that be promoted as the best way, as planned parenthood? You know, so if you weren't planning it, then just erase it. It's not that simple. It's really just not that simple. Spiritually and emotionally and mentally and physically, there are scars that are left for years. And so, we can't be mockers those people mock us for our beliefs. They mock us because we believe that God created the world. They mock us because they believe that when you die, there's something else. They mock us because we believe in heaven, because we believe in God, because we believe in the Holy Spirit, because we'll allow one book to direct our lives. But don't you remember when it used to be the right way to go? When it used to be the standard, when it used to be acceptable in this country? Don't you think it was a better country then? I mean, I'm not floating rainbows and lollipops, but really, wasn't it a better country then? Mm-hmm. When we live by the Word of God. And now, if you think that a man's a man, a woman's a woman, something's wrong with you. No, that's called science and biology. I learned that in, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade. In class I learned that in fifth or sixth grade. I knew it before then, though. But we have to understand there are some things that just are true, but they mock us. They sit in the seat of the scornful, and they mock us. And so he says, don't be one of those who sits in the seat of the scornful if you want to be blessed. Verse 2, but if you want to be blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord. How many of you love God's Word? We ought to love God's Word. Boy, it ought to be special to us. We ought to love this book. It ought to be special to us. I mean, your Bible ought to be special to you. You ought to read it and just love what it says. And when you read it, you ought to get excited. Y'all ever have a friend show up that you weren't expecting? I mean a friend, not a relative, but a friend. Somebody show up that you weren't expecting, hadn't seen in a long time, and you just got all excited because they were there? Anybody ever do that? Do we get that way when we open the Bible? When we read the Bible, are we excited to open the Bible? Are we excited to open the book? Are we excited when the preacher stands up and he says, open your Bible? Oh boy, we're getting ready to hear something. When he starts reading it, does it fall on our ears as tender and as loving as it is coming from God's heart as it is? Or are we in rebellion? Are we resisting? Is it boring? You want to be blessed? Your delight's in the law of the Lord. You love God's law. You're not trying to erase God's law. You're not trying to excuse God's law. You love God's law. You know what law is? Law is order. Law is boundaries. Law is standards and principles. It's guidelines. You say, well, it's more than guidelines. But what I'm saying is it gives us borders. Children need to know what the line is. You know what I've learned? Adults need to know where the line is. We need to know what's right and what's wrong. You ever met somebody that didn't understand boundaries? No pointing fingers, but do you know anybody? Yeah, boundaries. To know to live within your means, to know to live within your bounds, to know where your rights end and mine begin. Boundaries. Verse 2, in his law does he meditate day and night. Do we think about God's law? How many of you had something on your mind at some point recently and you just all you could have on your mind? You couldn't get it off your mind. Anybody? Man, you just thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. I bet Brother Rodney's thinking about fish. And he's trying to figure out how to catch fish. He's trying to figure out how to clean fish and cook fish and what's got to go with the fish and how to feed all those people and park all those people and seed all those people. And are you worried yet? And so it's day and night, day and night. You know why? Because it's important to him. Look, if God's Word is important to us, we ought to get our mind in it. We ought to think about it. It ought to be on our mind in such a way that we long to understand it and we try to dissect it and analyze it and put it all back together so it makes sense. In His law, this is the man that's blessed. In God's law does he meditate day and night. Meditate, think about. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Strong tree, nourished tree. You see, the picture here is not some old scraggly twig out in the desert, is it? Some tree that was growing and then it stopped raining and then a couple of seasons went through and it didn't rain and there was no water. And so that tree is just stunted right there in the middle of the desert, no leaves, barely any branches, and it's just there. That's not the picture, is it? But you know, that's what happens to people when they get saved and they don't get churched. Somebody was asking me the other day, he says, so-and-so go to your church? And I said, well, they're a member of the church, but they're not churched. They're not churched because they don't go to church. They're a member of the church, but they don't come enough to learn anything. They don't come enough to grow, and they haven't come long enough to be disciplined in the Word of God. And so, of course, yes, it was somebody that was wondering, how could a member of our church say such things or do such things? And that's why, because they're not churched. Saved, and they're church members, but they're not churched. It takes time to get disciplined. It takes time to learn these things, to put ourselves under the Word of God and to the instruction of the Word of God. The idea that somebody gets saved and then doesn't get churched, that's that old scraggly tree in the desert. But the blessed man, the man who meditates in God's Word, the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of sinners. This man, oh, he's standing like a tree by the water. And he's growing, and he's growing, and he's strong, and he's got boughs, and he's got leaves. And I mean, here the picture's not of the of birds and squirrels and all that kind of stuff, but I'll guarantee you, what the picture is of health and wellness and strength. Look at what it says. Brings forth fruit in a season. You can count on them. Farmers, y'all know what time of year to go out and harvest a crop? Do you know? And you'll say, well, it's not ready yet. Why? Didn't get enough rain. It's not ready yet. Why? Didn't get enough sun. It's not ready yet. The ground wasn't ready yet. And so, the picture that we think of, that it may be variable. It may be unreliable. But you know what God says about the man of God that stays in God's Word and meditates on God's Word and loves God's Word and lives by godly example and godly instruction? It says you can count on them. It's consistent. If it says it's time for the fruit, the fruit's there. If it, look, don't have to worry about it, because the water's available. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many of you want to have success in what you do? I do. I think it's amazing when people come to church here and they start serving God and start living for God. Now look, you got to start living for God. You can't just join the church and start living for God. And then guess what? Boy, they're looking for a job. And then they get a job. And then they not only get a job, but they get promoted. And they get a raise. And things start happening. Why? Because they got their mind on the things of God and their heart on the things of God. And God's blessing them. And what they do prospers. And life prospers. But you know what happens sometimes? God blesses them and they get that job and then they start working on Sundays and can't go to church. And look, you got to feed your family. I'm not criticizing. But when you know, say, well, I work on Sunday. You work Sunday morning and Sunday night? You work Wednesday night too? See, what happens is it takes out Sunday morning and we say, well, if I can't go Sunday morning, I just won't go. You can learn something Sunday night and Wednesday night.
Amen.
You can get to church and grow and learn. And I don't pick on people for this. Now, I don't criticize people for this. But if you want to be blessed, you better get in God's Word. It's not long till, guess what? They don't prosper. Not long till things are starting to fall apart. Why? Because God's the one that gave them the blessing and then they left God behind. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind drives away. You ever notice that about people? It's incredible to me as we see all these protests, as they call them, and a lot of them turn into riots. And did you watch those people last night? I don't want to talk about politics, but if you noticed last night, and it wasn't even a State of the Union, it was just an address to Congress, joint session of Congress, and the president would say something, and you see people, some of them would... they like halfway get up and they go, oh, I'm not supposed to stand up for that. They were going to stand up and cheer, but their peers were telling them, you're not supposed to clap at all. You're supposed to do this and make an ugly face. And even on the other side, you see some of the guys, they clap and they're sitting there clapping. And then they see somebody else stand up and then they'd stand up. Huh? So it goes both ways, doesn't it? Whether it's positive or negative, it's the influences around us. And you know what that's called? That's called driven by the wind. You know what I want to do? I want to stand if I want to stand, and I want to sit if I want to sit. And if I want to cheer and clap and woo, then let me do it. And if I don't want to, you just feel free to go right ahead. And you know, that's the same thing at church, Brother Rodney. I mean, if people want to say amen, hoop and holler and clap hands and raise hands, then just go right ahead. But that doesn't mean I have to. And that's the problem. You know, what's funny is people will adapt to their environment. And you may find people that are in that church that didn't used to do that. And if they leave that church, they won't do that. But they're going to adapt to their environment. You know why? Because it's not in here. They're like chaff driven with the wind. Verse 5, therefore, and I'm talking about those who are. And a lot are. Now look, I'd like for all of y'all to get a habit of saying amen when it's amen. You know? I don't even say amen. If I'm sitting there and somebody's preaching and the preaching's good, I'll say, that's right. You ever see a preacher get up there and beg for amens? I don't say amen, not once. I say, amen? No, I won't say anything to that. I laugh at them. If you watch me, if they do that, I'll laugh. I'll sit right over there and laugh at them. I know it's mean, but... hey, did you... I'm done with politics, except it's quarter till now. And who was it? Jeb Bush. I'll pick on him since he's a Republican. But do you all remember when he was giving that speech and he said, y'all can clap. Remember that? Nancy Pelosi did it last week. This is just an applause line. You're supposed to clap for that. Look, if you got to do that when you're preaching, give up. I mean, just preach. Don't do it for the applause. Verse 5. The ungodly shall not stand in judgment. They won't be in positions. They won't be given opportunity, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You say, well, Pastor, we've got judges today that stand in judgment, but they're ungodly. We're not talking about worldly. Look, we're talking about heavenly things. Things that matter. You want to have judgment? Get in the book. You want to have God's blessing? Get in the book. You want to be called righteous and be in the congregation of the righteous? Get in the book. Does it say anywhere in there, go to church? I think church is wonderful. I'm for it. But don't think that that's the only place to get in the book. We need to be in the Word. You eat when you're not here? That's how, boy, if I don't get in it, I'll start to get hungry and start to get cranky. Any of y'all get cranky when you don't read your Bible and pray? Verse 6, Lord knows the way of the righteous. You know why? Because He laid it out. You know why God knows the way of the righteous? Because that's what He prescribed. That's what He planned. That's what He designed us to follow. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The thing about the ungodly is, if they're working against God, which is the definition of ungodly, by not following God's will, by being ungodly, they're in constant contradiction to themselves. Constant contradiction to their design. Constant contradiction. They can't. They can't prosper. You say, well, people, I know people that are rich. That's not prosperity. Money's just money. I've known rich people that are miserable and poor people that are happy. Money doesn't make life. God knows the way of the righteous because He laid it out. He prepared the way. But the ungodly shall perish. Let's stand.